Passover season. A month ago, 4 weeks ago, we covered 10 very good laws of being a Christian. And I use that as a stepping stone to begin the evaluation process that all of us go through during this time of year, because we're told to evaluate ourselves before we take the Passover. 2 weeks ago, we went over the relationship we have with God and Jesus Christ and the relationship we have with one another, asking questions as an evaluation, a personal evaluation. How am I doing? Well, I've been evaluating the last message for its overall effectiveness. And, oh, by the way, anytime we're speaking, be aware that he records it. Someone puts it online, and I had requests for those questions from all over the country. And it caught me by surprise, actually. So I've been looking at that last message, and I've come to the conclusion I would be remiss if I did not continue the discussion on the self-evaluation portion of our relationship with one another, our relationship with others. The evaluation that I gave out was divided into two. We prepare ourselves for the Passover by looking at our relationship with God and Jesus Christ, the Father, and our salvation, and our relationship with others. I covered the background of number one fairly well, I thought, because I took most of the time for that. And there needs to be some more covered in dealing with our relationships with others. God divides, in a sense, the Ten Commandments into love of God and love of men. Matthew 22. This will go to Candy. Miss Candy, I've got my paperwork done. Just saying. Matthew 22. We're talking about the commandments. Jesus Christ was being challenged by lawyers, those who are denizens of law and wordsmithers. I made a career out of being a wordsmith at a high-tech company. Matthew 22, verse 34. But when the Pharisees heard that he, Jesus Christ, had silenced the Sadducees, they weren't going to ask him any more questions. He knew all the answers. He knew how to answer the challengers. They gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him. See, he wasn't just wanting to know. He just wanted to trip Jesus Christ up. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. We covered that 2 weeks ago and then 4 weeks ago. The number one commandment. You'll have no other gods before you. And everything flows from that. If you believe that God is God, everything flows from that. You'll have no other gods before you. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Well, the first four commandments, we learn how to love God. No other gods before God. There isn't any. And once you believe that, then the next nine are a given. Not to make any icons or images for worship. Not to take his name in vain. His name is holy. Not that we, you know, not to get into sacred names, but not to use, not to have a wrong sense of how to say his name, but to reverence him, his title, and who he is. To honor God on the day that he gave men. Jesus Christ is the Lord of the Sabbath, and that's why we're here today. We keep this day holy. That's the foundation by which we love God. And then, of course, the next six is the love of mankind. We honor and respect our parents, which is the first commandment of promise. Honor your parents so that your days will be long upon the earth. We don't murder. We don't commit adultery. We don't steal. We don't lie. We don't covet. This is the foundation for a way of life. So we have these laws that God has given to us, these commandments, and these do's and don'ts. And then Jesus Christ expounded and expanded our understanding of these Ten Commandments so that compliance isn't just whether we do them, But also it's the action in our mind. He spiritualized the law. He didn't do away with it. He spiritualized it. And that got me to thinking about my process of evaluation and another section of Scripture that our salvation, Jesus the Christ, expounded and expanded, all referring to our relationships with others. Matthew 7. Matthew 7. We know that Christianity is a way of life. Matthew 7, 21. Christianity is a way of life. It's not just a series of do's and don'ts, but it's a change of heart and change of mind. It's how we think. And as we think, so we speak and act. A serious warning comes with this, and it just got me thinking. Matthew 7, verse 21. As I'm evaluating myself, and everyone is on this journey, probably at a different point of the journey, but we're all on the same journey, and you're evaluating. So this portion jumped out at me. Verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, well, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many mighty wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Whoa. This got me thinking, because those who are in the pulpit, hopefully, and I'm on my knees asking for this, prophesied means inspired teaching, inspired preaching, inspired speaking. Lord, I spoke to your brethren through your inspiration. I prophesied in your name. Cast out demons in your name. And that was done. I did many wonders in your name. I did works of wonder in your name. Miraculous events took place. And yet Jesus the Christ will say, I never knew you. That got me thinking, because my assignment is to teach. And I am very cognizant of the fact that I have to be accurate with this book. I don't want Jesus Christ to say to me, go away, I don't know you. So that's what he says. I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. These individuals prophesied. They taught under inspiration. They did works of wonders, including casting out demons. I never knew you. Leave my presence, you who practice lawlessness, iniquity, those things which violate the law. That got my attention this week. And then he continues in verse 24, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on a rock. As we traverse the area and we're looking at mountains that have sliding hills and trees that are falling down, there's a section south of Garberville, and some of the trees are now sliding down. I mean, it's a mess out there. You want to build on a rock. You want something solid foundation. You don't want things slipping and sliding under your feet. We'll liken him to a wise man who built his house on a rock. The rain descends, the floods came, the winds blew, beat on the house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. I would love to see if that should be capitalized, but it's not. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, beat the house, and it fell, and great was its fall. And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching. He taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. The point being here, I wanted to get back to the scribes. I have to be accurate. When the scribes were putting the book together and they were doing translations and they didn't have Kinko's and they didn't make copies, they had to actually scribe it out. Every new scribe was told, look, a mistake on your part can affect someone's eternal life. Be accurate. My job is to be accurate with God's word. I could get very nervous. So I'm looking at this going, I never knew you. And it took me aback. How is it possible that I could teach and preach and see God's hand in so many areas and still have God say, or Christ say, I never knew you? It caught me by surprise. It caught me by surprise. We hear and do these things from the heart. God wants us to be a different person. As we evaluate ourselves, again, talking about evaluation, going toward the Passover, I want to reach into your minds and hearts that you have to evaluate, are you a different person? Are you a different person? How is it that these individuals could perform these works in the name of Jesus Christ and yet fail before God? Well, I want to take us on a little journey. I want to take us on a journey and hopefully we'll get a better sense of what this is all about. Matthew 10, a few pages over here. In Matthew 10, Jesus Christ is establishing the apostles. He's establishing their assignments. He's talking about their future. He's talking about the troubles, trials, and challenges that they're going to face. And while he's talking to them, he's also talking to you and I. Matthew 10, verse 32. Matthew 10, verse 32. Am I in the right spot? Yeah. Matthew 10, verse 32. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Oh, man, I'm preaching at myself here. I never knew you. And now he says, if I don't confess him before men, he will deny me before God. This is quite a thought. To have our elder brother, our salvation, say, I never knew you. To say, I don't know you and I will deny you before my Father if you don't confess me before men. Now, he was talking to the apostles. He was sending them out and they were being sent to preach the gospel. They were to teach the gospel of Christ. They were teaching the world the plan of God. They were to confess before men Jesus Christ. So how does that apply to you and me? Well, you and I are the servants of our God. We are sons and daughters. We're family. But we're also servants of God. If we don't confess Jesus Christ before men, he will not confess us or proclaim us before the Father. He won't acknowledge us before God. That's what he said to those who even spoke under inspiration, those who God allowed to cast out demons, those who did works of wonder. So it got me thinking some more. How do we confess? If you're following me, hopefully we're on the same page. How do we confess our understanding of Jesus Christ before others? Nobody here should be on a street corner with a sign, repent, the end is near. You shouldn't be going door to door. I mean, that's not what the scripture says for us to do. So how is it that we aren't called to be evangelists or apostles? We're not going city to city. How do we confess Jesus Christ before men? Because we're supposed to. We're supposed to. Let's go to John. as part of our evaluation, we confess Jesus Christ by our example to others, by what we say, by what we do, and how we act. It's all part of the evaluation as we go toward Passover. John 13 and 34. I worked in a large tech company for 34 years, and on day one, they took me into security. They took my photograph. They gave me a badge, and the badge identified me by an identifying number. There was a magnetic strip on the back. It had my name, my employee number, and the organization I worked for. And that badge was to be visible. You wore it anytime I was on campus. You go through the gate, you go through security, you put on the badge, and then you wear the badge all day. That badge can be seen from across the campus. You have a badge. You are identified as a member of the company. And if you were in an area that required certain security, that badge was taken and security was called. They didn't ask you, they took the badge and made sure you were who you were and you were right in the right spot. You were identified. An individual in my group was back east on a military base, and the wind blew his badge up. It just blew it up, and he was just walking between buildings. Security came up and said, "Put your badge down." Put it down, because they were looking at the badges. At this time, there were multiple badges that he had. Badge can be seen. It identifies us. I've marched in a band. You ever march in a band? You all wear the same uniform. And at a football game, you could be by yourself, but you have that uniform that identifies you, which team you are playing music for. You're identified. We demonstrate who we are by something very important. John 13, verse 34. "A new commandment I give you." Doesn't take away the others. I always have to stop. It's not a takeaway. It's an addition. It's an expounding. "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." This is an identifying badge, if you will, that we are the disciples of Jesus Christ if we have love one for another. It's our badge. It's our uniform. And as I evaluate myself for this Passover season, I had to wonder, how am I doing? Do I show love for others the way Jesus Christ loved me? Do I show love for others and am I identified as a disciple of Jesus Christ? Am I setting an example that is visible to all the congregations, visible to my neighbors, visible to the individual who cut me off south of Fortuna yesterday? Do I set the right example of love toward others? Because that identifies me as a disciple of Jesus Christ. I want to be identified that way. I don't want Jesus Christ to say, "I never knew you." I don't want Jesus Christ to say, "I'm not going to acknowledge you before God." I want to be identified as one who is a disciple of Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus expounded and expanded the Ten Commandments. We know that he did. He spiritualized it. He talked about don't commit adultery, and absolutely that's true. He said, but it starts in the heart. It starts in the mind. So if you're doing it in your heart and your mind, you've done it. You've broken the commandment. And he didn't go through all ten, but it applies. He also addressed something on how we are to deal with one another. And he goes deeper. Matthew 25. Matthew 25. Matthew 25. Not Mark, Matthew. Matthew 25, verse 31. Here we have the expression of the end time events, and there's a time of evaluation and judgment. We have the parable of the talents. We have the parable of the wise and the foolish. We come up on verse 31 of Matthew 25. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, so end time event, Jesus Christ is returning, and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And He will set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on His left. Then the king will say, you know, the evaluation is done. Judgment has taken place. Then the king will say to those on His right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Those are words I want to hear. I don't want to hear Him say, I never knew you. I don't want to hear Him say, I will deny you before my Father. I want Him to say, come, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the earth. Four, verse 35. He gives the reasons why. I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. This is a way of life. This is how we think now. Because we have love one for another. Then the righteous will answer Him saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? When did this happen? For surely I would have recognized me doing this to Jesus Christ. I would recognize me doing this to one of divinity. The king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Then he will say to those on his left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger, or naked or sick or in prison, and did not minister to you? When did I miss this opportunity? And then he will answer them, saying, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. I started putting these together. It's a fearful thing to hear that it's possible to hear Jesus say, I never knew you, even though we do the outward works, and those works were prophetic, they were inspired, demons were cast out, works of wonders took place. So it's not about the things we do. It's in our minds and hearts and how we love one another. Do I show, talking to myself, do I show the same kind of love for others as I would have shown to Jesus Christ? Is my example of loving others the same as loving Jesus Christ? Is my example visible to the congregation that way, to my neighbors, to the people on the streets, gas stations, grocery stores? Doesn't matter where I am. That's a serious question. Jesus Christ moved us from being identified as His disciples, showing love toward one another, to our actions, which I got to stop writing late at night. Can't read my notes. It's not just what we do to each other. Because what we do to each other, we are doing to Jesus Christ. I wanted to use the word literally, but we know that that's not the case because we are serving and helping and supporting one another. But Jesus Christ says, you are doing and saying in supporting or not to me. I ask myself, how am I treating others? Do I treat others as I would Jesus Christ? If Jesus Christ was here and he asked for a glass of water, I'd run up there with a glass of water, a bucket of water. If one of you needed water, would I do the same? I hope to think so. Would I steal from Jesus Christ? When we think about how we deal with others, Scripture says, do not steal. Do I steal things from others? And Jesus said, look, if you're doing that, you're doing it against me. How about stealing character, a name? Do we gossip? And do I do that? Would I gossip about Jesus Christ? Of course not. Of course not. I would hope to support and encourage and uplift and help. Just because it's not Jesus Christ doesn't mean we're not doing it to Jesus the Christ. It's we are doing it for one another. Would I lie to Jesus Christ? We know that he reads minds. He knows the very intent of our hearts. So there's no hiding anything from Christ. Why would I do it against my brethren? Paul, when he wrote to Corinthians, he said, hey, stop lying. Because the congregation had a penchant at that point for lying. Would I try and dominate and domineer Jesus Christ? How would I treat Jesus Christ if he were here? And he is because you're here. How I treat you is how I treat Jesus Christ. He doesn't say as if. He says you are. And I have to evaluate myself. How am I doing? How did I do this last year in dealing with each of you and all those, my neighbors, some of which are very interesting. Won't go into that. Would I treat them differently because as I treat them, I'm treating Jesus Christ? Would I ignore Jesus Christ in a congregation? You go to a new congregation, as I have opportunity to do. Would I see someone in the background and just ignore them? Or extend the handshake of fellowship? Everyone here is going to be in God's kingdom. Everyone here is in the family of God. Brothers and sisters on the same journey. We all need the encouragement. We all need the help and support. How am I doing? Do I exclude anybody? I have to ask myself these questions. And I'm just giving you ideas. That's what I have to do. Do I dismiss anyone because I think I'm better than, or I'm stronger than, or I'm higher than them? And if I do, am I dismissing Jesus Christ? Do I reject the Christ because there's individuals I just don't like and I'm going to reject them out from my fellowship? Do I make fun of? Do I embarrass? Do I belittle? Do I brush off? How do I treat others? You know, the great commandment it says we are to love God with all our heart and all our soul and all our mind. It says also, love others as you would have them love you. How do I want to be treated? I don't want to be ignored. I don't want to be overlooked. I don't want to be slighted. I don't want to be neglected. I don't want to be disregarded. I don't want to be excluded. I don't want to be barred. I don't want to be omitted. I don't want to be denied. I don't want to be repudiated. I don't want to be minimized. I don't want to be scorned. I don't want to be dismissed. I wouldn't do that to any one of you. How we treat one another is how we treat Jesus Christ. As we go through this evaluation process, as we think about what God wants us to be evaluating ourselves on, I just wanted to touch on a very simple point. It's possible that you could be doing everything on the outward portion and still Jesus Christ say, I never knew you. It's possible that Jesus Christ said, you won't confess me before men, i.e. our example toward one another that is going to be visible by the world, then I will deny you before my God. And then how we treat one another, how we treat one another is how we treat our Savior, our salvation. I have to ask myself, how am I doing in treating others as if I would treat my elder brother, our salvation, Jesus Christ? Now, to get preachy, as if I haven't already, during this Passover evaluation, my answer for how I treat Jesus must come from the heart. Ephesians 6. Loving one another must become a way of life. And that love extends to the most disagreeable people you'll run into as neighbors, on the road, family members. Doesn't matter. And I won't shock you, but there are disagreeable people in congregations, just saying. And how we treat one another, it must become a way of life. Ephesians 6 and verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, that you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Do not provoke, do not thwart, frustrate, take away hope, be overly critical. You know, have self-control in how you teach. And bring them up in the admonition of the Lord. Bondservant, this is where society gets a little twisted. They get their panties in a wad. Because it doesn't say slavery is bad. Because we live a different life. He says, whatever condition you find yourself in, be Christian. He wasn't trying to change society at that time. He says, bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh. And fear, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart as to Christ. It's that phrase again. We are to do things as to Christ. Not with eye service, as men pleasers. Very interesting about eye service. The reference is that you are doing good when you are watched. Or you need constant supervision to do the assignment, whatever you're given. Not with eye service, as men pleasers. Yeah, I'll do this, and as soon as your back's turned, I'm going to roll my eyes and make a joke. Because I'm not doing it from the heart. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With goodwill doing service as to the Lord and not to men. We forget sometimes when we run into disagreeable attitudes that what if we act and react in the same manner, we are acting and reacting as if to Christ. Whatever we do, we are doing it as to the Lord. And not to men. Verse 8, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. And you masters do the same things to them, giving up threatenings, knowing that your own master also is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. We come to the point where, as I evaluate, I'm trying to give background to the evaluation we give toward relationships with one another, that it is a way of life that we serve one another from the heart, regardless of the situation we find ourselves in. It is from the heart. It is from the heart. Romans 13. Yep, going to be short today. Romans 13, verse 8. we have a duty to perform. We have an obligation to one another. And it's brought up here in Romans 13, verse 8. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. The Ten Commandments is loving God and loving man. It is having love one for another is an identifier of being Jesus Christ. When we show love one for another, Jesus Christ will say, enter the kingdom. Because as you've done it to others, you've done it to me. Owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there's any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. It doesn't replace the law, but it identifies you as a disciple of Christ when you keep the law from the heart. But you say, well, okay, that's good. I don't always have opportunity to serve and give toward one another, but Galatians 6, verse 10. Galatians 6, verse 10. Verse 9. 8. Let's back it up here. Yeah, Galatians 6, verse 1. I knew I was going to do that. You kind of did too. Brethren, if a man, woman, brother, sister, family member is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Sometimes we have a strength, a spiritual strength, and we see someone struggling and we clobber them. No, but in a spirit of gentleness, because we've been there. And God in His mercy helped us. And if you remember back 2 weeks ago, we are to comfort others with the same comfort that God has comforted us. You who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks of himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself and could end up being saying, I never knew you. Depart from me. But let each one examine his own work. And then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. We shall evaluate ourselves, especially as we go toward the Passover. Where are we? Where do we stand in relationship to God? Where do we stand in relationship to Jesus Christ? Where do we stand in relationship to one another? And do we actually look at one another as if we are helping and teaching and treating each other as we are teaching and treating Jesus Christ? Verse 6, let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will reap. There is consequence to action. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, verse 10, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all. Clear statement, to everyone. Let us do good to all, especially those who are of the household of faith. We do good to all and to give special attention to our brothers and sisters. We just did that in the last 2 days with Nita. Prayer requests went out. We were on our knees for our sister. We were on our knees for Stan to help him go through this. And our great God heard our prayers. As we have opportunity. And we are to have opportunity. Now, what happens when we see an opportunity And we go, ah. It'll come another time maybe. Proverbs 3. Very simple statement here. There are times when we don't want to be bothered. There are times when we want to give a little tongue lashing. There are times when we want to exert our righteousness when opportunity shows itself. But what does God say in Proverbs 3:27? One simple scripture, two lines. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due. And what did the scripture back here say in Romans? It says, owe no one but to love one another. That's what we owe each other. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due, when it is in the power of your hand to do so. When we have the opportunity, the means, we don't back down from that. We then are to open our hand and help. Do not say to your neighbor, go and come back. Tomorrow I'll give it to you, when you have it with you. Do not devise evil against your neighbor, for he dwells by you for safety's sake. Do not strive with a man without cause, if he's done you no harm. We are to love our neighbors as ourselves. Not to withhold good for those who are due, to give to those who we can give. As I said, it was a very simple thought that came to mind, that when we are dealing with or evaluating our relationships with one another, we can sometimes lose the reality that we are dealing with Jesus Christ. Remember, God's Spirit is in you, so we are, in that regard, dealing with the family of God, dealing with Jesus Christ. But when we see different faces and different attitudes and actions and not doing so well, how we deal with them is how we deal with Jesus Christ. Wives and husbands, when you address one another, that's how you're dealing with Jesus Christ. Parents, as you address and deal with your children, that's dealing with Jesus Christ. When you brothers and sisters in the congregation deal with one another, that's how you're dealing with Jesus Christ. It's very clear. As you have done it to them, the least, and I don't know how he would quantify the least of these my brethren, you have done it to me. I put it all together, and I wondered, this is my evaluation, you're just getting caught up with it. How do I treat my brothers and sisters? How do I treat Jesus Christ? I never want Jesus to say to me, I never want to hear the phrase, I never knew you. I don't want that applied to me. I don't want Jesus Christ to say, you denied me before men. My example was wrong. There are times when we set the most wonderful example of Sabbath attitudes. And the moment we drive away, we leave that attitude behind us. And people see that attitude and not the one here, because the attitude here is just for us, right? I don't want Jesus Christ to say of me, I never knew you. I don't want him to say, you denied me before men. I'm going to deny you before my Father. I'm evaluating myself as to how I treat others. Am I in concert with Jesus Christ? His teaching that what I do and how I approach one another, how I treat each other, is how I'm treating Jesus the Christ. I found this to be a very sobering thought, and I thought I'd share it with you. I hope it was helpful.